Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Text 1, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Shri Prahrada Uvacha, Kaumaraha, Acharit, Pragyaha, Dharman, Bhagavatam, Iha, Durlabham, Manusham, Janma, Tat, Api, Adhruvam, Arthadham, Shri Prahrada Uvacha, Kumara Acharit Pragyo, Dharman Bhagavataniha, Durlabham Manusham Janma, Tadapyadhruvam Arthadam. Translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, "One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection." Purport. The whole purpose of Vedic civilization and of reading the Vedas is to attain the perfect stage of devotional service in the human form of life. According to the Vedic system, therefore, from the very beginning of life, the Brahmacharya system is introduced so that from one's very childhood, from the age of 5 years, one can practice modifying one's human activities so as to engage perfectly in devotional service. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Modern civilization, not referring to the verdicts of Vedic literature, is so cruel to the members of human society that instead of teaching children to become brahmacharis, it teaches mothers to kill their children even in the womb on the plea of curbing the increase of population. And if by chance a child is saved, he is educated only for sense gratification. Gradually throughout the entire world, human society is losing interest in the perfection of life. Indeed, men are living like cats and dogs, spoiling the duration of their human lives by actually preparing to transmigrate again to the degraded species among the 8,400,000 forms of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is anxious to serve human society by teaching people to perform devotional service, which can save a human being from being degraded again to animal life. As already stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavad Dharma consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. In all the schools, colleges and universities and at home, all children and youths should be taught to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they should be taught to hear the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, to put them into practice in their lives, and thus to become strong in devotional service, free from fear of being degraded to animal life. Following Bhagavad Dharma has been made extremely easy in this age of Kali. The Shastra says, Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama eva kevalam, kalo nasjeva, 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 gatiranyata. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everyone engaged in the practice of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will be completely cleansed from the core of his heart and be saved from the cycle of birth and death. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapadakamalam Shri Gurun Navaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada quotes it even before he begins his commentary on the Bhagavatam, right in the preface. That famous preface, Prabhupada, he states, what is the need for this Srimad Bhagavatam? Why? Anyone who opens this book, they may think, why should I read this book? What's in it for me? What will I get out of this? So, Prabhupada describes how the Srimad Bhagavatam is required in human society. Human society at the present moment is not in the darkness of oblivion. This is a statement meant for the materialistic people who are very proud of their civilization, because later on, as in this purport, and as in many purports, Prabhupada states that human society at the present time is in the darkness of oblivion. But he states that human society has made much progress in technology and science and all these things, which later on in the Bhagavatam Prabhupada describes as being products of a demoniac civilization. So he's giving that little pat on the back to the initial reader. He's trying to attract the man of the modern society. But Prabhupada states that despite all this progress, there is a pinprick in human society. Pinprick, I think, is a very small thing. Yes. Then Prabhupada says, and thus there are wars, famine, pestilence, earthquakes, a pinprick. There's so many severe problems. So then what is missing? What is missing in human society is God consciousness. The clue can be given by this Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Prabhupada states as this, this should also be taught in the schools and colleges. As the great boy devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, has stated, Komara acharet pragyo dharma bhagavataneha durlabam manushangchan tadapya dhruvam artadam. Should be taught in the schools and colleges. From the very beginning, I remember, Prabhupada is giving the direction, not this. Here in the same purport, here Prabhupada is also saying, this should be taught in all the schools, colleges and universities and at home. All children and youths should be taught to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very clear, not that maybe according to this theory, or should be taught. Nowadays there are many theories about raising children, even in our own society. Don't teach them about Krishna consciousness. Let them find out later. Let them choose themselves. So many things. But here Prabhupada is stating, they should be taught in the schools, colleges, and universities. And then when they come home also, they should also be taught the same thing. Not that in the school you teach them all kinds of nonsense and a little bit of Srimad Bhagavatam, and then when they come home they watch TV. If they like. And if they like, they can also read Srimad Bhagavatam. But no, they should be taught. Should be taught from the very beginning of life. Prahlad Maharaj is recommending this to his demoniac schoolmates. He himself, he not only learned from the age of childhood, but he learned even before that, when he was in the womb. So that actually is the direction of Vedic society. That's it's well known in Vaishnav society, in traditional Vaishnav society, whatever remnants of it are left, and they're being revived again by Prabhupada's movement, that women who are bearing children, they should, especially, or everyone should hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they should hear kirtans, they should hear descriptions of Krishna, but especially women who are pregnant, they should read out, they should here they should attend and they should recite shlokas glorifying them. They should say loudly so the child in the womb can hear. So that is the Vedic culture, very nice culture. That you hear in the womb about Krishna, fortunate child can take birth in such a situation. And they go on hearing from childhood. And by that, if you grow up with this, then how strong you're going to be in that. Just like we see how difficult it is nowadays to convince, even we find devotees who are reading Srimad Bhagavatam for years, but there's still all these whatever has gone in the early time in youth, is very difficult, it seems, to get out of the consciousness, the whole way of thinking. Prabhupada is, throughout his books, he's attacking this so-called rational, empiric, godless, materialistic way of thinking, because everyone's brought up with it. This whole, in the schools and the universities and in the homes, they're not being taught about Krishna consciousness, but a whole worldview based on the smug misconception that we've got it all worked out. We know what we are teaching you. We have Oxford University, Cambridge University, Harvard University. These are bastions of knowledge. And we know we are giving knowledge to human society. But what is that knowledge? This, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Shri Vidya Abhidya Jani. Now I know, he said, after wasting all my life studying all these things, this academic, mundane knowledge. Now I understand that so-called knowledge, it's not knowledge, it's the opposite of knowledge. It's anti-knowledge or non-knowledge that simply makes an ass out of the jiva, who is supposed to be the enlightened servant of Krishna. Jivke Karye Gadha. By learning so many things, you simply become a big ass. So you see, and it's very difficult to educate an ass in anything. Because he's very stubborn and he's very convinced that I'm an ass, and you know, I know what it's all about. Very stubborn. So in the same way, someone who's brought up from the beginning of life within this wrong concept, we can straightforwardly say the wrong concept, misconcept of a bodily concept of life. Ishvaraham aham bhogi, siddho ham balavan suki. The whole demoniac way of thinking is reinforced that I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, I am perfect. We're very happy. Everything is very nice in this way of thinking. So that is reinforced by the education system, by the whole culture, by the whole society. So it's very difficult to even to begin to give people knowledge of Krishna consciousness. It's very difficult even to begin, because this is presented as absolute knowledge, which it is. But immediately people have the defense system of we don't accept anything absolutely. Their whole way of thinking is based on everything should be taken relatively, and you should judge it against, you have to judge it against other ways of thinking, and every opinion is as good as any other opinion, and you may prefer one opinion, but you shouldn't think that it's better, it's just that you prefer, it's just your personal preference. And in this way, they have this very expert manner of avoiding accepting any absolute knowledge. So to them, such statements that from the very beginning of life one should be educated, and they immediately, no question of being educated, they even reject the concept of anyone telling you should be educated. Then immediately think, oh, this is something wrong. So, because they've been brought up with that whole way of thinking since the very beginning. And as Prabhupada points out here, that for all their high aspersions, or how they think of themselves as being very highly advanced, we were just discussing this morning about how in Britain people think this is the apex of civilization, but they think this is very wonderful, and not only do they think it's very wonderful, but they think that this is how everyone else should be. But it's actually animal life. It's the actual level of consciousness of that is not only animals, but dangerous animals. There are different classes of animals. There are deer and there are lions. So these are very dangerous, aggressive living beings who are causing harm to others, causing pain to others. And they think that this is very advanced culture. So how deeply this way of thinking enters the consciousness, because they're brought up with that, the whole culture reinforces, the educational system reinforces that. So it's very difficult to change that way of thinking. So if someone is brought up with this from the beginning of life, hearing about Krishna, hearing not only Prahlad Maharaj, he actually doesn't say directly to hear about Krishna, but to he should understand about Bhagavad Dharma. So that's that Bhagavad Dharma, that of course the subject matter is Krishna, but that includes all the topics of Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, scientific knowledge of Krishna, and the whole, here the word dharma is used, which Prabhupada, as he often does, or usually does, translates as occupational duties. So within the Varnashram system, that translates as the dharma of Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and Stri Dharma, dharma of women. But here, Bhagavad Dharma, that means occupational duties in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that means the whole culture of Krishna consciousness. One should be brought up in this culture. And if one is brought up in this culture, then it enters very deeply and strongly, if one is fortunate enough to be brought up in that culture. So actually this verse, which Prabhupada gave so much importance to, that he put even before he began his commenting on the Srimad Bhagavatam, he stressed the importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and cultivating the consciousness of Bhagavan, of Krishna consciousness. He stressed that right in the beginning of his Bhagavatam presentation by quoting this verse, that this, as Prabhupada was stating in that preface, that this Srimad Bhagavatam, this is meant to change the course of human civilization. That what is missing in modern society? Why are there so many problems? What is the actual cause? The actual cause is lack of this knowledge. There are so many departments of knowledge, but because of lack of this knowledge, then despite having such a great civilization with so many big buildings and technological advancement, that people are living, their level of consciousness, which is reflected in their manner of living, is that of a very low class of animal, like snakes and dogs, and very not even a better class of animal, but a very, very worst class of animal. So Prabhupada's aim in presenting this Srimad Bhagavatam is not for simply some cultural purpose, in the sense that people think, as Prabhupada was writing in his early days, he was preaching in America in 1966, and there was no one helping him, and he was writing a letter that the government of India, they should actually support this cultural activity. They think that promoting Indian culture means sending some dancers to the West. That's not even Indian culture at all, anyway, that they should dance in public like that. Is the dancing is meant for the Supreme Lord's pleasure, not for some go on a stage and everyone claps you. But people tend to think of this, oh, this is culture. Some books on studying some literature. Literature is part of culture. But actually, culture in the real sense means the whole way of life and the whole way of thinking. So Prabhupada wanted to establish in the world a very ambitious aim. He was writing this preface with this verse when he was renting a room for, 1.5 rupees in Radha Damodar temple, under practically unknown Swami. And he was begging money to print these books, and he had the aim that this will change human civilization. He had that vision. Because what is the culture rest of the... Why do we have this whole culture in the modern society? How is it going? Why is it that in 100 years ago and now, what is Oxford Street, that people are anywhere in England? It is so different in so many, I mean, in those days at least, superficially, people, it was just coming out of the Victorian era, the people, they had a sense of morality, duty. And nowadays, people wouldn't dress as they do now. They wouldn't behave as they do now. The culture has dramatically changed. Why is that? Ultimately, at the base of any culture is a worldview, a way of thinking, a template, a way of... What's that big philosophical word? Weltanschauung? Something in German, you know that word? It means it's like that. A way of... at the very basic way of thinking. It's a concept which shapes the whole way of thinking. So what is the concept at the very root of this society? We have Darwin, that life is simply a product of matter, and then Freud. So many, but these are the big names in shaping the demoniac course of modern civilization. Their theories have shaped so many other sub-theories. So Freud, his idea that all problems in human society come from taboos on sexual behavior. So we should not suppress our feelings. We should be natural. And this is a very great simplification, but based on these concepts, modern society has developed. There are many different... actually, about 100 years ago, that was when the suffragettes, the women were demanding a vote. They'd just been allowed to have souls. And now that they have souls, they're allowed to have... they wanted to have votes also. So then this developed more and more, that we got souls and now we got votes, and now we should be admirals in the Navy. And of course, I was always wondering why, when they were after that 9/11 attack, that the troops went into Afghanistan, but they weren't... I didn't hear of any protests in the street. The women were having demonstrations, that why are they not parachuting us into Afghanistan along with the men? They didn't ask for that right yet. One of my godbrothers was telling me that they have fire women along with the firemen. It's all... they do their training very nicely, but there's just one problem, that they can't pick up the hose. So there are many wrong theories in human society because they don't have this basic knowledge, that everything from Darwin and Freud and then so many different wrong ideas come out, which are all... they're all divorced from reality. They don't know what is the actual fact. They don't know what is the reality of life. And they take it that life is simply... When there's no transcendental knowledge, then life is simply what is there, simply for enjoyment of the senses, that's all. And therefore such things, Prabhupada mentions in this purport, that abortion, it becomes accepted. How can such a horrible thing be accepted as a normal part of human life? Because people think that I'm the body and I have a right over my body. It's my body. So if there happens to be some organism within the body that I don't want, then it's my right to cut it out so that I can go on enjoying my life. to the best of my capacity. Some time ago I saw one American student had defined that why America is the best society ever, modern America is the best society ever in the history of human civilization, because it gives everyone the best opportunity to unrestrictedly pursue enjoyment. And of course they're miserable, because they don't know how to enjoy. They don't know what is the actual meaning of human life. Because of this lack of transcendental knowledge, then they must come down to the sensual platform, maybe mental platform, intellectual. But even the intellectuals there, they're the worst cats and dogs, humans. That our BBT library party devotees were telling that they would find the scholars, they're the most degree, they're very intelligent and talking so many theories, but in actual behavior, the most degraded kind of people. So why, without this knowledge that is given in Srimad Bhagavatam of what is the purpose of life, and not only what is the purpose of life, but how life should be lived, how the whole society should be set up, so that everyone can develop, they can come to the standard of understanding Krishna, then without this knowledge, then they may invent some morals. They don't have any fixed standard, but their morality is based on this understanding that we should all be nice to each other so that we can don't interfere with someone else's endeavor to enjoy themselves to the best of their capacity. So this produces sinful life, and that produces reactions, and they go to the university and make studies how to solve the problems, and the problems get worse and worse and worse because they don't know. Nate vidu, as Prahlad Maharaj said, they do not know. Nate vidu swartagatin hi vishnum durashaye bahirata maninas te pishatam tramurdam. What's the last line? I can't remember. So they do not know that the actual purpose of life is Vishnu. Very simple point. But missing that, you miss everything. And that is the present situation of human society. So Prabhupada is giving these Bhaktivedanta purports, which he's stating the fact. The Krishna conscious movement, sometimes people ask that, you know, why they think it's a very bad thing to proselytize. That means to try to convert people. It's a very bad thing. I was just seeing some write-up on the new Camden Food for Life Center there. So there was some write-up that they do not try to proselytize you. Actually, we are. That's our only aim. We're not opening the Hare Krishna Food for Life Center because simply to fill people's bellies. It's not a humanitarian endeavor in the ordinary sense of the word. The only aim and object is to make everyone Krishna conscious, either immediately or gradually or in the next life or whatever. Let people have Krishna prasada. Let them hear about Krishna. That is the only aim. But in the modern society, that someone should try to bring someone to God consciousness, that endeavor is considered very bad, and it has this term is affixed to it, proselytization. It's very bad if someone should come to you and try to make you in a religious person. See the whole condition of society, that there's so much averse to being God conscious that if anyone even makes an endeavor to bring you to God consciousness, then the word is used, proselytize. It means that's something very bad. So we are like the Hare Krishna movement. If they give us free food and some singing, that's very nice. That makes us very happy. But don't proselytize us. Don't tell us how we should live. Don't try to change us. So how difficult it is that they have this averse, that's part of their cultural training, to be averse to becoming Krishna conscious, become averse to even listening. As soon as someone tries to proselytize, oh, no, no, this is very bad. You shouldn't try to change my way of thinking. So it's a very difficult job to bring people here. Prabhupada says this, Prahlad Maharaj says, pragyaha, those who are intelligent from the age of childhood. And generally with childhood, who's going to be intelligent? But they can be. If they take up Krishna consciousness, if they're more intelligent, then they will take up Krishna consciousness from the very beginning. Or this is a direction to parents. If they are intelligent, then they should bring up their children in this way, to be Krishna conscious from the very beginning of life. So people are not intelligent. They're unintelligent. Intelligent but unintelligent means misdirected intelligence. If you use your intelligence, if you spend your whole life trying to do something which is impossible, that's what everyone's doing. Actually, many of the things which are blatantly unintelligent are accepted as very intelligent in modern society. Like modern art, for instance, someone's considered very chic and very intelligent if they just throw some paint all over, and this is supposed to represent their deep, subtle understanding of or whatever it is. So, and other foolish people, they also think this is very wonderful. So, they're spending their whole, they're developing their intelligence to try to understand, or on a basis which is unintelligent. To think that we shall be happy by enjoying our senses, it's unintelligent. A human being should see that the animals are also enjoying sense gratification, then we should try for something better than that. But instead of trying for something better than that, they simply try to enjoy sense gratification in a more sophisticated or complicated way. And they invent ways of sense gratification that the animals do not have. The animals don't play football. So this is an invented manner of sense gratification. It's a very complex thing. The whole idea that if the ball goes here, then you win the game. So it's very complex. So they think this is more intelligent. This is very sophisticated. We're so sophisticated. And then in the animals, they're simply fighting with their teeth and their nails and making some noises. But we have, I mean, I'm not up on the latest things, but I guess intercontinental ballistic, not ballistic, nuclear missiles, they're still part of the scene, right? They didn't go further than that yet. So they have all kinds of weapons. So this is very advanced and sophisticated. And not only that, but we have defenses against that. That if they drop a bomb on you, we have such sophisticated defense systems that you can run underground and put on your anti-radiation suit, and we have food stored for you for 2 years, and then you can come up. So it's very sophisticated. But what is it? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So not intelligent. Or misdirected intelligence. So the actual intelligence means to chant Hare Krishna. This is actually intelligent. Prabhupada giving very reassuring words here. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. To us who, even though we're chanting Hare Krishna, then we may be thinking, why am I doing this? I could be earning £400 as a bus driver. There's so many other things I could be doing. Can't help but see the advance. There's so many other things I could be doing. But Prabhupada is giving reassurance to our disturbed minds as we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And our mind is disturbed in so many various ways because it's been disturbed. Instead of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the age of childhood, we've had our mind disturbed from childhood because in modern life they think the more your mind is agitated, that's enjoyment. That's why you should listen to this pounding music and take some intoxication. And the more your mind is disturbed, that's called enjoyment. So our minds are very disturbed. So even when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we become disturbed. And why am I doing this? And that devotee, they're a demon and there's something wrong with them. Prabhupada's giving insurance. Just listen to me. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Everyone, Prabhupada is writing here, everyone engaged in the practice of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra will be, not might be or could be or maybe or someday possibly will be, but will be completely cleansed from the core of his heart and be saved from the cycle of birth and death. Prabhupada's reassurance. And factually we're seeing that anyone who sticks to this process, their mind may go through so many somersaults and gyrations, and they may go through, if you see in your chat, you may find some Rahu period of 5 years or whatever it is in which everything seems black. Even if you're chanting, it may be so strong that even if you're chanting Hare Krishna, that you're subject to some kind of depression or mental disturbance or whatever. But if you just stick to this chanting, then Krishna will deliver you. That is Prabhupada's reassurance. Prabhupada has written here. And even if it wasn't true, even if Krishna wasn't going to deliver you, because we're such rascals, actually he is, but even if we weren't, now Prabhupada has written this, so now Krishna is obliged to deliver us. He has to fulfill the words of his devotees. So we have this responsibility to preach Krishna consciousness and to go on with this process ourselves, go on chanting, have faith. As Prabhupada states in one of his purports in the songbook, do not think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired result. It will. It will. You just have to go on with this chanting. Of course, go on means we have to endeavor also to chant nicely, properly, avoiding offenses. Chanting means asking Krishna, please engage me in your service after you have engaging Krishna's service. But here is the reassurance. If we simply go on with this process, we will be delivered. And not only us, anyone who takes this Krishna consciousness will be delivered. They will be. So as Prabhupada said, that he is traveling all over the world. Prabhupada said, I'm traveling all over the world just to see that my disciples do not fall down. So Prabhupada, wherever he went, he would give basically, as he often used to say in lectures, I have many times said, I have many times given the example. And then you know what he's going to say is something you have heard many times. I have several times given the example. And then you'll hear something like the bee on the outside of the honey pot or some example that you've heard many times. Prabhupada was saying the same thing. So sometimes people say, oh, why? Always the same thing. We want to hear something new. But actually it is the same thing because it is the same thing. It's the same thing. It didn't change from 1977 to 2002. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness didn't change. It's the same thing. That if we chant Hare Krishna, go on with this process, avoiding sense gratification, understanding that this whole modern civilization is simply a death trap for the soul, not to become entangled in it. If we just go on with this process, then as Prabhupada has promised here, that this will cleanse us This will have its effect. We will be delivered by chanting Hare Krishna. You don't have to worry. Don't be in anxiety. Go on with this process. So this should be introduced in all the schools and colleges. We're awaiting that day. Of course, to some extent, it's been introduced in a many very minor way. But when Prabhupada stated that this teaching should be introduced in the schools and colleges, he meant that this should be introduced not as some side topic in some Indology class or South Asian studies class or whatever. But this should be the subject. School and college means you go to school and college to learn, what they say, the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. So we should have instead this, as Prabhupada has quoted it, the nine topics, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. These are the topics that should be taught. And the three R's may be on the side. Reading, yes, as Prabhupada said, we should teach how to read. In our schools, we teach how to read, so they can read my books. And writing, so you can write about Krishna. And arithmetic, maybe a little bit required. Not much. But this should be the subject matter. This should be the subject matter. So we're very fortunate by Prabhupada's grace that maybe we didn't come from childhood, but spiritually we're all children. So we can start at any time. We're very fortunate to have this education. Let us remember our good fortune. Not become overwhelmed by our own imagined misfortune. Understand we're very, very, very fortunate to have this opportunity to take part in this Krishna conscious movement, to chant Hare Krishna, and to have the opportunity to assist Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas in their service of giving Krishna consciousness to others, which is why Krishna has come here. Krishna, you don't expect in a big city, demoniac city like this. This topic, Srimad Bhagavatam, you expect some rishis in the forest, they'll be discussing, not in this situation, but Krishna has come here to present himself. That here I am, now you come and worship me. So our devotees are going out just to inform that here is Krishna, come and worship him. Some are coming, more should come. Now this temple is making its impact in the ISKCON world, making the manor in Scotland look like they're sleeping. They've surpassed them in book distribution. And not only them, but most of the other temples in the world. So, that's good. Very good. Jai, Hare Krishna. But you shouldn't be content until there's a full set of Prabhupada's books in every room, in every apartment, and even the people sleeping under the bridges have a set of Prabhupada's books. Then you can be a little bit satisfied. Think big. It's great you're distributing these Bhagavatams. Prabhupada especially, he said, he wanted big books distributed. There was a time when they were distributing mostly smaller books, and Prabhupada emphasized, no, I especially wanted big books to go out. Big book, big brick. Jai Hare Krishna. One question? Time for... No questions. Okay, everything's clear. You've heard it all before? Now just do it, that's all. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.